Turn to Proverbs chapter 18 and chapter 18. I'm just going to read one verse, if you would. Stand with me. I know you're tired and you just sat down, but calisthenics will help wake you up. Proverbs chapter 18. Yes, sir. The book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, knowledge and understanding. Chapter 18, verse 1. Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you tonight to bless the message, God. I don't want to say anything. I'd rather sit down. I'd rather not even be here, God, if you don't help us, if you don't help me, if you don't fill me with your Spirit. Lord, I don't want to say anything to be hurtful or hateful. I pray, God, that everything that comes out of my mouth would be straight from you and nothing less. Lord, help me not to cut anything out, nothing more. Help me, Father, never to say too much that would be dishonorable to you, Father. Please honor this, your word, this time together with your precious people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. 18 verse 1. I want you to notice with me just for a second here. This man, first of all, separated himself. The Bible says, through desire, a man, having separated himself. Now, it doesn't matter. We don't even need to know who this man is. It could be any man. It applies to every man. But number one, he separated himself. Nobody did it for him. Nobody forced him to do anything. He separated himself. When you separate yourself, obviously you're separating yourself from something. Unto something else. Because the Bible says he separated himself. Then it says he began to seek something else. Are you there? He separated himself from one thing because he needed to seek something else. And can I tell you, the verse breaks down perfectly here. We need to separate ourselves from the wrong things and seek the right things. It's foolishness. It's really a waste of time, and it's irritating. It's going to be frustrating for any of us to try to seek the right thing while we're still mingling with the wrong thing. That doesn't even make rational sense. But this man separated himself first. You have to do that first. Then he began to seek, and then the Bible says he began to intermeddle with or intermingle with or just be surrounded by, just be entangled in, if you will, wisdom. Now, in other words, where he was before he separated himself, he lacked wisdom. He did not have the wisdom he needed. So he separated himself. I want you to get that. I don't want you to miss that tonight. He separated himself. Nobody came and made him do it. Now, maybe he probably was persuaded that it was necessary. He probably understood that it was something that it needed to be done. But either way, no matter what happened or how it came about, he had to make a decision to separate himself. And then seek something else, in this case, wisdom. Once he began to seek it, then he began to intermeddle, intermingle, get surrounded by, get filled with wisdom. Notice, it says all wisdom.
Amen.
All wisdom. Many times we talk about separation as if it was just one way. But separation involves two different things. We'll be back to Proverbs there, but turn to Romans chapter 1 and look at verse 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. I want you to see something here. Have you ever heard the phrase, nature abhors a vacuum? Maybe you haven't, but a vacuum is just an absence of anything. It's just empty nothing. It's a void. And nature abhors a vacuum. Wherever there's a vacuum, a void, an emptiness, something's always trying to get in there. Okay? So look in verse 1 of chapter 1 of Romans. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, notice, separated unto the gospel of God.
Amen.
See, separation is not just from the world, it is also unto the Lord.
Yes.
And in our case, in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1, you can go back there, but the problem, the key is, I want you to see here, is that he separated from one thing, but he didn't just stay there. If you separate from one thing and you just pretend like, well, that's all I got to do, well, that one thing is just going to draw you right back. But when you separate from, then you must begin to seek and go unto the good thing, the right thing, wisdom, the gospel, the word of God, the walking with God, the changing things, taking away and adding to. But it has to, notice, I want you to notice in verse 1 of chapter 18 in Proverbs, it all started, notice, with a desire.
Yeah.
With a desire. All that. I think it would be safe to say, and you could probably agree, that this man's life in this one verse is drastically different now.
Yeah, right.
Right? Would you agree with that? There's a tremendous amount of change happening to this man's life in one verse.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, he's separating from, he's seeking, and he's mixing, mingling in with now all wisdom. All wisdom.
Yeah.
All wisdom.
Yeah. Yeah, brother. Yeah, brother.
His life is completely different now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what, it's such a blessing to be around new Christians who are excited about being saved.
Yeah.
I guess maybe it wouldn't be quite as a big deal if it happened more often, but it just doesn't.
Amen. Right.
You see people saved just like I do, and you look at them, you think, I have to beg you to come to church?
Right.
I have to beg you to come to church?
Right.
You know you were going to hell 5 minutes ago, and because of Christ, now you're saved, and you're going to heaven, and Christ is in you, and you have the Spirit of God in you, and I have to beg you to come to church. I have to call you, and I have to text you, and I have to go by your house 3 times, or 4 times, or 5 times to come to church. And that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is somebody who says, when's the next church service?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Can I be there early?
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Now, that doesn't happen very often.
Right.
And here's the reason. Because their desires are still carnal.
Right.
Yep.
Their desires. God does not force us to do anything.
Right.
Yep.
The law is bondage.
That's right.
Mosaic law, the law of Moses and the commandments of God, that is bondage. Mount Sinai is bondage.
Yeah,
what I'm talking about is liberty, freedom to just choose what you want.
Amen.
And but when God gets involved, our desires begin to change. And this man's whole life was changed because he had different desires.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
You know what desire is, don't you? It's just an old-fashioned want to.
Yeah.
Why are you going to? Because I want to.
Amen.
Why are you reading your Bible? Because I want to.
Amen.
Why are you going to go somewhere? Because I want to.
Amen.
I mean, what is wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that.
Amen.
I think it ought to be what we want.
Amen.
And let me back up and say, even I think I can add to that, it will be what we want when our heart is right with God.
Amen.
There will be no other desire stronger than the desire to seek and intermeddle ourselves with all wisdom. Because desire is where it all comes from. Every decision stems from a desire. Your desires define who you are.
Amen.
Really, they do. Your desire. Say, well, who am I? Preacher, who am I? I can't tell you. What do you desire? And then you can tell yourself who you are.
Yeah.
People do what they want to do.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Verily, 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 I say unto you, people do what they want to do.
That's right.
Amen.
And God knows this. We need to learn this. As a man desires, so does he.
That's right.
So, preacher, what verse is that? Listen, that's just a principle. Yeah. As a man desires, so does he.
Yeah. Amen.
So is he.
Right.
Desires are born in the heart.
Yeah.
Desires originate in our mind, in our spirit, inside us. From birth, our heart and our mind desire to please ourselves.
Right.
When you are born, and as you don't believe that, listen. I mean, we've got two babies. Is Russ here tonight? Three babies in the nursery. Now go in there and find out. If you could go in there and you could do open brain surgery, open heart surgery on those little kids, and find out who they're thinking about right now. What would you guess that they're thinking? Lucas is thinking about probably Lucas. Levi's probably thinking about Levi, and Russ is probably thinking about Russ.
Right.
Now, that's no offense to you parents, because understand something, that's the way we all are at birth.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Our desire is, I want my milk.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Where are my toys?
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Where's my mom?
Uh-huh.
Change my diaper. Now! Our desires are not serving and giving and loving and wisdom. Our desires are self, 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 me, me, me. Listen, that's the heart of an unsaved man. Come on now, don't get quiet on me now. An unsaved man, when an unsaved man desires or obeys his desires, he always ends up living for himself. Come on, are you listening to me tonight? An unconverted soul is set on fire with the pride and the fires of selfish pride of this life. An unconverted soul is a soul that's set on fire with the fires of self-gratification and self-propagation. I want to gratify myself, and I want other people to be just like me and gratify me too.
Right.
Yep. Are you listening to me tonight?
Amen.
An unconverted soul is a soul that's burning with desires to please itself at any cost.
Amen.
I mean, why do you think people get addicted to the things that they get addicted to? It's because they're looking to gratify themselves.
Amen.
I mean, good night. Why would you find the alcoholics and the drug addicts and the prostitutes? Why do you find people like that living that kind of lifestyle? Who could imagine living like that? I promise you, dearly beloved, it's because they're living for themselves.
Yes.
Their desires are number one me, and that's about all I care about.
Amen.
It's their desires.
Amen.
It's not anything unusual. It's not anything weird. We find it all over the Bible. Without Christ, all we care about is me.
Right.
You don't have to agree with it, but pride always disagrees with the Bible. But when we lose our pride, which by the way is all about me, we realize that is me.
Yeah. Yeah,
that is me.
Amen.
That's me.
Amen.
When a person gets saved, though, listen, things are going to change. Desires are going to be different.
Amen.
I mean, when they get born again, at least for a little while, desires are going to be different. Salvation immediately gives us a different destiny. I understand that. That is sealed forever. But it also gives us different desires, and it begins to take us in a different direction than where we were headed before we got saved.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Because our desires change.
Amen.
I don't want to do that anymore.
Right.
I don't want to wear that. I don't want to listen to that. I don't want to watch that. I don't want to go there. I don't want to be with him. I don't want to be with her. I don't want to hear that. My desires are different.
Amen.
Because it's not because it's self-gratifying. All of those things that used to make me feel good, now they make me feel dirty.
Right.
Amen.
Because Christ is pure. Christ is holy. Christ is whiter than snow.
Amen.
Undefiled, perfect and sinless, holy and righteous and pure. I love that word, pure. Have I said that already? And the things that I used to just desire to make me feel good, I realized those are the very things that disgrace Him.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's
right.
And defile me.
That's right. Right.
My desires have changed. My desires are different now. It's not because God's up in heaven with some kind of bullwhip. It's not because somebody's got me by the neck making me do something. It's a different heart.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
If it was just because somebody was making me do something, then I would just walk out of church as soon as you weren't looking, and I would go over here and go right back to my sin.
Uh-huh.
You understand? That's what religious people do. That's what people who play church do.
Amen.
They sit in church and they show off, but as soon as they walk out the door, it's all about me again.
Amen.
Because the heart is unsaved.
Yes.
But Christ comes in and a real good old-fashioned dose of salvation changes my heart.
Hallelujah.
My desires change. That's what changes. My desires. What I want to. What I want. What I'm looking for. Let me tell you something. You're not weird because you're different than the world.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
You're not weird, dearly beloved. You're not weird if you're different than the world. We're supposed to be different than the world because our desires are different. I'm not living for myself. When I find myself living for myself, then I know I need to get on my knees and repent. I know I'm not right when I find myself pouting because I didn't get my way. Come on, just say, yeah, that's true. What that means is my desires are going sour. And I need to get on my face. And I need to repent. And I need to say, oh God, forgive me. I'm full of pride. I don't want this pride to control me. I don't want my desires to be so selfish. Oh God, forgive me. I want to honor you. I want to please you. I want to be the man that you want me to be. Why? Because I want to. Because my heart's different. It's not a bunch of rules.
Oh, it is, baby. Preach.
The desire is what changed this man's life.
Amen.
His desire changed his whole life.
Amen.
Amen. Yep. Right.
You're not weird because you don't want the same life you used to have.
Right.
Now listen, I'm trying to help you tonight. This is not, but if you're not careful, right? Everybody looks at you and talks about you and says, "Man, you're weird. You're strange. You're unusual." And quite frankly, listen to me. That's okay if the world says that. All I've got to realize is that my desires are different than theirs. So I'm not weird. I'm not the one with purple hair. I'm not the one with pierced ears and nose and tongues and belly buttons. I'm not the weird one.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Preach. Right. Yep.
I'm not the one kissing a man.
Come on, preach.
Amen.
Yep.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
You're not weird, Christians. You're not weird, ladies, because you wear a skirt. That's modesty. It's pure. It's clean. It's clean. It's what God says. It's because you now desire to honor God with your body and save yourself for your husband. It has nothing to do with rules. It has to do with my heart is different now. I desire to honor God.
That's right.
Forget all that stupid stuff. It's what the world is pumping in your head. You're weird. You're crazy. You're violent. No, I'm not. My desires are different.
Amen.
You got to be reminded of that. We have to be reminded of that once in a while, though. Because we start to think, good night, I'm the only one. Right? I'm the only one. I'm the only one that cares. A Christian's not weird, though. You got a new heart.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yep. Hey.
You got new desires.
Yep. Right.
And when the world calls you weird, understand something.
Yep.
They didn't get it yet.
Yep.
Amen.
They didn't get it yet.
Right. Yep.
It doesn't make you weird.
Amen.
Yeah. It makes you saved.
Yep. Oh, preach. Yep.
This man's whole life was changed because of his desires.
Amen.
You remember a man named Peter, don't you, in the Bible? Peter had a hard time with this.
Yeah.
And when I was putting this together, God was putting this together, I should say, I began to think about Peter. Peter had a hard time with what I'm preaching on to you tonight. Separating himself, seeking all wisdom, intermeddling with all wisdom, and staying there.
Yep.
Now, turn with me over to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. People do what they want to do. When you read the Bible and you know what God says and you disobey it, it's because you want to.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
And praise God that we have the free will. I mean, that's a blessing. But every decision comes with consequences, whether they be good or bad. 1 Peter chapter 4. Forasmuch then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh. Notice he says, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. See, Peter had a hard time thinking about this whole suffering in the flesh. He didn't like that.
Yeah.
But God, let's read through here. It says in verse, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, verse 1, ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, the desires of men, but to the what?
Amen.
The will of God.
Yeah.
See, all of lust is, I've told you this before, is it's an illicit or it's a wrong desire. It's a desire that comes from the flesh instead of from the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
Right? And when I lust, it's an illicit desire. It's a desire I'm not supposed to have. Yep. It's a desire that comes from sinful nature, old me.
Right. Yep. Yep.
It's a desire that wants to gratify me, yep, regardless of what anybody says or what anybody thinks, yep, or what anybody does. Right. I want to gratify me.
Yeah.
And that's what lust is.
Right.
But see, and Peter had a hard time with that, but look, now his song has changed. Look in verse 3. Look in verse 3. For the time past of our life, see, he's thinking about his past.
Yep.
The time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. He said, we used to do what we wanted to do. The will of the Gentiles, by the way, is just the lust of the world.
Sure.
When we walked in lasciviousness. Now, he says when we walk, he's including himself. And I say he had a hard time with this. I'm trying to get you to see this. When we walked in lasciviousness, which by the way is illicit sexual desires, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, just the party life,
right.
Abominable idolatries. But look in verse 4. Wherein they think it strange. Who's they? Those Gentiles.
Yeah.
The world. They think you're weird that you run not with them.
Yeah.
Because that's what you used to do.
Right.
Well, what do you mean you're not going out with us anymore? What's wrong with you?
Right.
Oh, you're strange. Oh, you got religion.
Uh-huh. Well,
I'm telling you, Peter, this is Peter writing this. He had a hard time with this.
Yeah.
If you know anything about his life, he had a hard time with this.
Yeah.
And he says, well, now they think I'm strange. Now they think I'm weird. Now they think I've lost my mind. And now they think I'm brainwashed.
Right.
Has anybody ever told you that? You're brainwashed.
Yeah.
And you know what I say? I say, you better believe I'm brainwashed because Christ gave me a new mind, a new heart, a new spirit, a new everything, and it's washed clean.
Yeah.
Amen. Hey.
Don't let them talk to you like that.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah.
Your life just convicts them.
Amen.
They don't understand why you would want to be pure and holy and clean and righteous, and they don't understand why you don't want to run. They think you're strange because you don't want to run with them anymore.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. You know why? Because I don't desire that anymore.
Amen.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Right.
Well, that old preacher of yours, that old this and that, you know, they always want to find somebody to blame. But no. Hey, you can just blame Jesus if you want to, because now he lives in my heart.
Amen.
And I'm completely different.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I don't desire that stuff anymore. I don't want it. But Peter had a hard time with that. You remember he followed Christ afar off?
Right.
Remember?
Yeah. Right.
He denied Jesus 3 times.
Yeah.
Jesus even called him Satan.
Yeah.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Jesus even called him Satan. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1. Go back there. Look in verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Get ready anyway. Be sober.
Yep.
Sober means to be just what it says. Sober. It means sober.
Yep.
It means your mind to be empty of all mind-altering substances, including narcotics, prescription narcotics. And it says here, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former what? Lust, the former desires in your ignorance. A child is not, they're ignorant. You understand? That's what he's saying. I'll go back to the nursery again. If they come out here and sit out here, okay, Lucas and Levi and Russ, you sit right there and you listen to the preacher.
Right.
And they start pinching each other and crying, Mommy! Why? Because they're completely ignorant of what I'm talking about.
Amen. Right,
but the Word of God says, you know what, but you're a little bit older now.
Right.
A little bit older.
Amen.
You ought to be acting a little bit different.
Amen.
That's what he's saying. Don't fashion yourself according to the former lust when you were just a thumb-sucking baby.
Yep.
Now you ought to know better. Your desires ought to be a little more mature, spiritually speaking.
Amen.
A little more mature, a little more adult, grown up. Notice he says, but instead of your former lust, as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. It's written, be ye holy for I am holy. Now, again, God just tells us that. He says, now, it ought to be a new desire. You ought to stop walking according to your old lust and start desiring God's holiness.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
But who's writing this?
Right.
Peter.
Yep.
Look in chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling. See, they stumble at you. They don't understand that your desires. A rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Now, what is he saying? He's saying, of course they're going to stumble when you tell them the Bible says this, and of course they're going to stumble. Of course it's going to be an offense to them because they don't understand, because they do not have the regenerated, the born again, the heart of God. They don't have it.
Amen.
And can I tell you one thing? A saved person can find themselves here too.
Amen.
Well, how does that happen, preacher? Well, because they don't get on their face and repent when they start getting filled with pride. And so they start quenching the Spirit. They start grieving the Spirit. They start completely ignoring the Spirit.
Yeah.
And they return to their former lusts.
Amen. Yeah, amen.
You see, but all the while they know better.
Yep.
That's right, brother.
Yeah.
They know better.
Amen.
And they're the most miserable person you'll ever find.
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen, that's right.
Because they know they're in sin, but they don't want to repent and get right.
Yep.
Amen.
So they're going to stay there, and they're just going to say, you're not going to beat me, God. And every day of their life, they're fighting God.
Yep.
Amen.
Instead of just saying, oh, God, forgive me. I'll come back to you.
Amen.
See,
Amen.
But they'll run their mouth. They'll make you, because misery loves company.
Amen.
They'll make you feel terrible. They'll make you feel like it's your fault.
Amen.
Now listen, all I'm saying is Peter's understanding this. He went through this.
Yeah.
Verse 9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Peter's trying to remind himself, as he reminds those of us who understand what he's talking about, is listen, yes, you are different, but God has called you to be different. God wants you to be different. God wants you to sing His praises even amongst the darkness of this world, and let the light of the Lord Jesus Christ shine forth. He's saying, look, you're going to be different. But you remember, he's the one that struggled with this. Verse 10, he says, which in time past, there he goes again. In time past, we're not a people, but are now the people of God, which had obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. He says, dearly beloved, look now, I beseech you, I beg you. I'm not adding to the word of God. I'm just paraphrasing, if you will. He says, I beseech you, don't be like me.
All right. Yep. Amen.
He says, I beseech you, don't do what I did. I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly desires. Notice what it says, which war against the soul. They war against the soul. That means those old lusts, those old desires that you used to have, are still fighting to get back in control. They're still fighting to have control of your life again. And they're not going to stop warring against your soul.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
And Peter knew that.
Yep.
Amen. Peter understood that.
Amen.
Peter had a hard time with this stuff. I'm trying to get to something here. I just want to show you, though, the condition. Look in verse 15 of this same chapter. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men.
Uh-huh.
Amen. Verse 19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God, in other words, I know he's there, I'm aware of him, endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Wrongfully means you didn't deserve that.
Yeah.
Wrongfully means you're right and they're wrong. But you suffered wrongfully because they just don't like you, because they think you're weird, because they think you're strange.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
He says you suffered wrongfully. Verse 20. What glory is it if you buffet it for your faults? You shall take it patiently. But if when you do well, suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. In other words, I'm not going to suffer because I did something wrong. I'm going to suffer because I was right, but I'm going to take it patiently. I'm going to take it understanding, because their desires are not like mine.
Amen.
Let me ask you something. What changed Peter's heart? Look in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if he be followers of that which is good? But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Now that's not what he used to say. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That's the beginning right there. Put God first. Lift Him, elevate Him in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience. You know, when you do what you know is right, you can go to bed at night and sleep peacefully.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, which they do, right? By the way, if nobody in this world is saying anything negative about your Christianity,
yeah, right.
How should I say this? Why not?
Yeah, you may. That's right.
Do you fit right in?
Yeah, right.
Peter used to fit right in.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
But now he understands that they're speaking evil of me. They're thinking me strange because I'm doing what I know is right, because I have different desires. They speak evil of you as of evildoers. Verse 16, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so. What changed Peter's heart? Here, listen, this is it.
Yep.
I'm probably going to just finish. He realized that his desires were contrary to the will of God.
That's right.
His desires, as his fleshly lust, his carnal desires, were selfish, and they were against the will of God.
That's right. Yeah, amen.
Verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. By which he also went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. What I want you to see there is simply that he realized that Christ suffered for him. Christ is the one that saved him. It was God's will that if God wanted that way, that Peter be willing to suffer for him, because Christ is worthy of suffering. There's nothing in this world more important than doing the will of God.
Amen.
But my carnal, fleshly desires do not want to do the will of God. Look in chapter 4, verse 14. If ye be reproached, the word reproach just means made fun of, embarrassed, ashamed, laughed at, mocked, spoken evil of, the things we've read already. If you be reproached, notice, for the name of Christ, happy are ye.
Amen.
Now, that was not Peter's testimony a few years ago. Happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. Every time somebody laughs at you because of Jesus, God puts more glory on your head.
Amen.
More power on your life.
Amen.
That's what that means.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, understand, Peter was having a hard time years ago, but boy, God changed his desires, didn't he?
Amen.
God changed his desires.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
He said, now on their part, verse 14 still, on their part, he's evil spoken of. They're laughing at him. They're laughing at your Bible. They're laughing at your convictions. They're laughing at your standards. They're laughing at what you believe. They're laughing at the way you talk. They're laughing at the music you listen to. They're laughing at the way you dress. They're laughing that you're going to church all the time. I mean, they are just speaking evil of you and reproaching you and making you feel stupid.
Yeah, that's right, man.
That's right.
But you better understand something. If you're reproached for that name above all names,
Amen.
Don't feel stupid.
Amen.
Be happy.
Amen.
Happy.
Absolutely.
You're not weird.
That's right.
Yeah,
amen. You're not weird.
Yeah, Lord.
Right.
You're not strange.
Amen.
Brother Jose said something about his friend living in Seattle. I've lived in Seattle.
Whoa.
That is a strange place. That's just strange. I think everything on the West Coast is...
Amen, brother.
Man. Strange.
That's right.
Weird. But Christ is not weird. Christ is not strange.
Amen.
Now, here's the thing. The further the world gets away from Christ, the stranger we seem. If we'll stay where Christ wants us to be, the gap between us and them is going to get larger and larger and larger. Are you understanding me? In other words, God didn't say, okay, now you can move over because they moved. Move over. No. I stay right here where Christ wants me to be. And the farther they move away, like men marrying men, the farther they move away, the stranger preaching of the gospel is going to be. But can I tell you something? All I've got to do is find out what God says and realize what God says and understand that God changed my desires and I'm doing what God wants me to do, and God's given me a different heart, and they can reproach me, they can speak evil of me, they can say what they want to say, they can call me strange, they can call me weird, they can call me a fuddy-duddy, they can call me a Bible thumper, they can call me a Jesus freak. I'm okay with that, because God says every time that happens, I'm going to put a little more glory and a little more power on your head. And then we're going to walk into heaven one day.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
That's right.
Yep.
Then who's going to feel strange?
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Then who's going to feel strange?
Yep.
See, dearly beloved, listen to me tonight. I'm done. Stop living life as if this is the only thing there is.
Yeah.
Man, this is a fleeting, passing 50, 60, 70, 80, maybe 90 years. If your brother Worcester, 112.
Amen.
But it's nothing compared to eternity. Amen. And when we walk into heaven, then who's going to feel weird?
Amen.
It ain't going to be the ones who preached the gospel.
That's right.
It ain't going to be the ones who separated themselves and sought wisdom.
Yes, absolutely.
It ain't going to be the ones who had desires given to them from God's Word and who walked in the Word of God and the will of God instead of the fleshly lust, lasciviousness, and evil speaking and all that mess we do. They're not going to be real happy when they wake up and God's in their face.
That's right. Come on.
Amen.
That's right.
They're not going to be happy.
Amen.
But you know what? It just may be if we're faithful.
Amen.
If we're faithful to stay right here. The world can go as far as they want to go. I'm right here. It's where Christ is.
Amen.
Why? Because I want it that way.
Amen.
That's right.
Because that's my desire. It just may be that one of them is going to look back and say, man, y'all go on. I'm coming back here.
Amen.
Like the ones we keep seeing every week.
Amen.
Every week. What are they seeing? What are they? Well, they're looking into the law of liberty. They're looking into the light of the world. And they're seeing that, hey, this is real. This is truth. This is everlasting. This is incorruptible. This is immortal. This is unchanging. This is heaven. This is God. This is Christ. This is holiness, righteousness, and truth. And they're realizing, dear God, all of that is ridiculous. I want what you have. I think I... And then all of a sudden, their desires begin to change.
Amen.
I mean, it wasn't too long ago, your desires on a Wednesday night were not to come to church.
That's right.
That was not your desire on Wednesday night. Preacher, can I get a ride for church? That wasn't your desire.
Right.
Why is it different now? Well, because God's given you a new heart.
Amen.
And quite frankly, let them say what they want to say.
Amen.
Let them do what they want to do.
Amen.
I'm not weird.
That's right, brother.
If you think I'm weird, well, maybe you think I'm, that's okay. But we're all weird together.
Amen.
I don't want to do that junk anymore.
That's right.
I don't want to go there anymore.
Amen.
I don't want to say that anymore. I don't want to hear that anymore.
Right.
I don't want to wear that. I don't want to listen to that. I don't want to watch that. I don't want, it's a different desire. And that desire has changed my whole life.
Amen.
And that's the way it's supposed to be.
That's right.
Through desire, a man having separated himself. You don't have to make that decision, by the way.
Yeah.
Just make that decision. Separate yourself and then begin to seek wisdom.
Yeah.
It'll change your whole life.
Yeah.
Your whole life will be different.
Yeah.
Now, don't worry about what they say.
Yeah.
After all, what do they know?
Yeah. Right.
Just look at their life. What do they know?
Yeah. Oh, preach.
What are they living for?
Right.
I get to live for Jesus. I get to stand for Jesus. I get to stand up there one day and say, Lord, I have done what I could do with what you gave me. Here's your talent, plus 5, plus 10. I gave it all. I did what I could do for you, Jesus.
Hey.
What are they going to say?
That's right.
Every mouth is going to be stopped.
That's right.
Through desire. What are your desires tonight? Do you desire to follow Jesus? Do you desire to live for Jesus?
Yeah.
Do you desire? Listen, Peter.
Right.
Peter realized, oh, I don't care anymore. Let him reproach me.
Right.
Let him laugh. Let him speak evil.
Hey.
Christ died for me.
Amen.
I'm going to follow him.
Amen.
Well, that desire will change your whole life.
Amen.
Our Father in heaven, that's our message tonight. Lord, I pray you bless your people, Lord. Help them just to realize that they're not strange. Lord God, that they're supposed to be different. They have new desires. Bless your word. Bless the invitation. Encourage your people tonight, Lord, to realize it's okay to love you and desire to follow you and serve you all the days of their lives. In Jesus' name I pray.